Another part of this week's broadcast, I talked to you a little bit about the things you need to know to buy whatever you decide you want to spend in the way of eggs, but the labels are almost misleading. You have to really understand them, so I try to explain each label as it really was. Well, I've decided to do that on a few more things because I think it is important. I should do it more often, and I don't remember to. So for this part of the show, we're going to talk about the actual labeling on beef, and then a couple that I don't usually get into, but I think we ought to get into, is both personal care products and vitamins. So let's begin by looking at what the labels on the beef we buy here in the United States really mean to you as a consumer. In general, USDA grades beef this way: prime beef, a lot of marbling or fat interspersed within the meat itself. The next is choice, which is just less marbling. And finally, select, even less marbling, more meat, but less things that we like, that we have been trained to like in our beef here in the United States, is the marbling, which we're accustomed to the mouth feel. It's a whole different world. It's not necessarily by any means it's better for you. It may not be. But there's more to see on those labels if you look. For instance, no antibiotics. The USDA certifies that the cattle were raised without these drugs, which have been linked to a rise in antibiotic-resistant illnesses in humans. Another label you're going to come across says American Grass-Fed, American Grass-Fed or Food Alliance Certified. Grass-Fed. These are cattle that ate only grass, unlike most beef cattle, which are fattened up on grains, including corn, which many times is incidentally grown GMO. An American Grass-Fed also indicates, fortunately, though, that no hormones or antibiotics were used to promote this growth. And look for the USDA Organic also. Animals were raised with no antibiotics or hormones and ate only organic feed and food they found themselves. And they were also free to graze in an open pasture. Incidentally, there's one more label you'll see sometimes, which is kind of weird. And what it says is antibiotic-free, not just no antibiotics. Ironically, you can just ignore that, okay? Because all the beef, by the time that you eat it, should be free of all antibiotics. They changed that law several years ago. So there is a difference between no antibiotics, which is a legal term from the USDA, and antibiotic-free is just a come-on. They're just trying to make it look a little bit more attractive to you on the label. Let's touch on one little different subject, but I think we should all be at least concerned of, and that's the personal care products we use in and on our bodies. You have to know this, because you have to be aware that the United States itself does not regulate these products for safety as it does, for instance, medications. Now, I will tell you, but you have to do a little searching. Country of Germany does have stricter rules than we do on vitamins and on personal care products. So if you can go and look, a number of these products are sold in both places with the identical ingredients, but they may get a very different rating in Germany than they do here in our country. Even though I like the word organic, be careful here for personal products. Nearly all ingredients, including water and salt, meet USDA organic standards, if that USDA organic sticker's on there, made with organic ingredients is what it says. And that means at least, so it's not even a full number, 70% is organic. But in the case of personal care products, since there's no rules, organic doesn't necessarily even mean that it's any safer. So it's not much of a safety guard for you. And because I'm a nature nerd, I look for cruelty-free is what it says on the container. And it's got a little, it's cute, it's got a little logo that's got a little leaping bunny on, a little jumping rabbit. This product was developed without animal testing, according to the Nonprofit Coalition of Consumer Information on Cosmetics. So at least it tells you it hasn't been animal tested and there's been no animal cruelty involved. And finally, about the only label I really look for that I believe in, and it's because I've followed this particular nonprofit for years, is called EWG Verified. Products are free of what the Nonprofit Environmental Working Group, the EWG, considers chemicals of concern. Incidentally, if you want to follow it, they have a heck of a extensive, they cover so many products, I can't even begin to tell you. You just go to EWG.org, EWG.org, and if you want to go right to the cosmetics, go to /skinneddeep. But just go to EWG.org and you will find the Dirty Dozen that I talk about, the Clean 15. You'll find it. Personal care products. You'll find a whole rundown on what detergents you should use. So there's a number of things on the EWG.org that's well worth kind of a go take a look at once in a while. Well, it seems, I guess, this week I'm on some sort of a health kick, so I got one other thing I'm going to pick on that actually was a problem within my own family when I was younger and didn't realize what kind of a problem it was. Later in life, at least for a few years, I was an assistant to an ophthalmologist. I guess it's kind of what they call PAs today, so I learned a little bit about it. But it's a confusion that I think everybody should consider, especially if you have, I use this word because I am an older relative. There's a crucial need to educate older people about the use of antibiotics. This is according to a recent paper that found that a sizable minority misuse their medications on a regular basis. The information comes from a survey of more than 2,200 adults ages between 50 and 80 that was a part of the University of Michigan's National Poll on Healthy Aging, sponsored by the AARP. I should give them credit there. Nearly 13% of those with antibiotic prescriptions stopped taking the drug before running out of the medication. It's not a good idea, folks. 34% wrongly believed antibiotics could be used to treat a cold or the flu. They're useless for that, folks. They give you the antibiotics so you don't get something else while you're weakened that may come along, but it does not help the flu or the colds. More than half of those are reported having leftover antibiotics used to treat an earlier ailment took the old drugs if they needed them. That's probably, especially for older people, another no-no. And about 1 in 5 have used antibiotics without consulting a doctor or a pharmacist whatsoever. So if you have elderlies or younger people even, but especially elderly people that you interact with or relatives or even friends you know, take the time to discuss this with them just so they don't get themselves in peril without ever even realizing that it could be it's a real health problem if you're already elderly or infirm for a number of reasons. And I guess I'll do one more health bit to round out this quarter of the show. And the reason I'm doing this is I happen to have a friend that just passed away about 2 weeks ago. Had a severe, I guess you'd call it a case of Alzheimer's. There's new support for the premise that regular exercise helps slow memory loss in older adults with mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. A trial led by the researchers at the Arizona State University's Edson College of Nursing and Health Innovation had participants either ride a stationary bike or do stretching exercises on a regular basis for 6 months. Those who took part in the regular exercise program had significantly less memory loss than those who didn't follow a particular exercise regime. The results were published recently in the Journal for Alzheimer's Disease. Quote, our primary finding indicates that a 6-month aerobic exercise intervention significantly reduced cognitive decline. That's for Alzheimer's dementia. And the study showed exercise has other benefits as part of Alzheimer's therapy. The current collective evidence on its benefits supports the use of aerobic exercise as an additional therapy for Alzheimer's disease. And although now this is not part of this study, so I want you to make sure you understand that. There's some good studies that show mental alertness is increased if you stay mentally active. Now, there's some question about whether that's more about general dementia or Alzheimer's, so those studies are ongoing. But it seems that doing crossword puzzles, playing chess, Monopoly games, and one that surprised me a little bit was the puzzles. What do you call those? Jigsaw puzzles seem to actually stimulate the brains of those people. And sometimes they seem not to be with it, but it activated the neurons. They tested them. And I guess in essence, the concept like exercise, which I do definitely believe in, is you use it or you lose it. So if you do have folks in the family that are kind of slowing down a little bit, stimulate them. Get them to do something with you, with the kids. I have one man that I swear helped him more than anything was he was a bird watcher. And his morning consisted of an hour or two. But he not only watched the birds, this is where the stimulation came in. He had a guide, and he would find out what each and every bird was. Now, sometimes, this is the reason I found out it was helping him, is he would forget them. But after he had named them, even though he might have forgot them, that he saw them last week and looked them up, and this is, you know, a goldfinch, and he looked at it and said, I don't remember that. After he did it three or four times, maybe just a couple of times, then the next time he saw it, he would say to me, oh, that's the goldfinch. That's the female goldfinch, or whatever we were looking at the time. So that, I can't say it's proof. It's, you know, they want proof to be on black and white paper. But I could sure see a difference in his awareness and how sharp he became as he became more and more interested in not just, in nature in general, but he happened to be a bird watcher and he got into some butterflies. And this man was in his late 80s. I would go visit him a couple of times a week. I just happened to befriend him. I actually go cook for him once in a while, and because he was a bird nerd, we had a lot to talk about. So anyway, that's sort of a rundown for this week. Don't know how I got on my health kick, but you've been listening to Organic Matters. Thanks for tuning in, and wherever you're getting me, I'll be back here next week. Or if you get me on my podcast, you can check my shows out anytime you like. Don't forget, I have a website, organicmatters.info. And if you need any personal information you just want to check on, I'll try to look it up for you at natureapproved@yahoo.com.